find alignment in Parliament by the 15th, or is it an intention to, as far as possible, are you saying it must be debated in Parliament by the 15th? Surely our cut-off is to report to the House as to progress by the right.
Obviously, if we can do it quicker and have the debate and that, it's fine. But the following week when we arrive, I mean, it's the same as when we were in recess now. If we need to, surely we can continue. The 7th to the 15th is a committee week. I understand there's no plenary there, but that could assist us as well. But it obviously depends on how far we go when we can have the debate and that. But there's still quite a lot of things to do.
Yeah, well, keep in mind what I've said about wanting to check the printed bill. Because checking the printed bill is not something that happens overnight. I'm going to have a seat.
Thank you, Patricia. I guess we will need to go through a formal process of approval, clause by clause, to
Chair, we were asked to provide a clean working document for the working document 80, which was distributed on Friday. And then we've also got a committee proposal document, working document 18, that we have on file for today. Chairperson, we haven't made any amendments other than taking out the last pages that related to proposals that were not to be inserted in the working document that was decided by the committee on Friday to take out those sections or those provisions that does not deal with the working document. So we've cleaned up the working document, we've got a clean working document for today, just containing those issues that we said that we will come back to. And then, Chairperson, we were also asked to have a look at section 80 of FIRE, as well as how it relates to the independent newspaper. Okay. Chairperson, I've got the committee proposal document here. And then if I may talk to the how the interaction is between section 80 of FIRE as well as the independent newspaper. Okay. I will do so.
Can we firstly see the amendment?
I will address the committee members on the question regarding whether the section 18 FIRE that relates to the non-disclosure by court and circumstances contemplated in 82 of FIRE and how it interacts with the judgment given by Deputy Chief Justice Mosenneki in the independent newspaper, how that two aspects interrelate and whether the one is trumped by the other. Chairperson, if I may, in the claim in the newspaper group, independent newspapers, I will refer to that case as the independent newspaper case. The group, newspaper group, sought an order to compel disclosure of certain portions of a record of proceedings in the Constitutional Court. The state was represented in that matter by the Minister of Intelligence, and the Minister objected in the instance to the disclosure sought on the grounds of national security. The independent newspaper sought disclosure of the records relating to the case of Matetla versus the President in another matter. The background to this, Chairperson, was that in the application to court, Mr. Matetla filed two affidavits. The one affidavit was one that was set in camera, and those contained matters where Mr. Matetla indicated that if it disclosed those matters, it will compromise national security. And in the second affidavit, the so-called open court affidavit, the contents was markedly different from those in the in-camera affidavit filed by Mr. Matetla. The minister, however, filed only one affidavit that dealt with both Mr. Matetla's affidavits in his case. And although the minister's answer was not contained in the in-camera affidavit, the minister did confirm that the nature of the subject of the matter does not permit full disclosure of the facts since it will undermine national security. if it was done so. However, and this is important, is that neither of the parties requested the High Court for an order restricting disclosure of any part of the record, of the court record. So consequently, the court then held its proceedings in an open court, and it made no order for prescribing public access to the records. Subsequently, this order was appealed against, and the Constitutional Court then directed a few days before the hearing that the underlying record be removed from its web page, as well as indicated the Registrar of the Constitutional Court indicated that no hard copies may be made available to the public. The explanation given for this was that the underlying record contained information that were marked in camera or confidential or secret and related to the activities of the NIA. However, it was not issued at the request of any of the parties concerned. Independent newspapers then launched an urgent application to join the proceedings and to gain access to the written argument of the parties and to other unspecified documents in the record. The court then ruled that the entire record be made available and that any party who wishes to object to the disclosure of any part of the record must do so in writing, identify the document to which the objection is related, and also list the grounds for the objection. The Minister of Intelligence and Outside Security then filed an objection to the disclosure and advances on various grounds of national security in the matter. Chairperson, that's the background to the case. The court then continued and also stated then in the interlocutory application that was brought by the independent newspapers for an order that the restricted documents must be released to its attorney, to its counsel and senior editors, on the argument that it was premised that without access to the documents, it will be hindered in its preparation for its legal case concerning the legitimacy of the minister's objection to disclosure, and it could not assert its constitutional right to open justice without citing the target. Chairperson, in that case then, it was clear that the right to gain access into published legal proceedings was based on the record before the court. The core of its argument was that unless it gained access to the restricted documents, it would be severely handicapped in the pursuit of its case. And then there was the argument that to gain access to documents or other information reasonably required to assert a protected threatened right or to advance a course of action, it should be read with the existing cluster or as put by Deputy Chief Justice an umbrella of related constitutional rights, which would include inter alia the freedom of expression, the right to public fair trial, and to so-called term the right to open justice, and from this right in follows the media's right to gain access. But the Deputy Chief Justice also indicated that no right is absolute and that it is subject to certain limitations, and in the instance it will be determined on a case-by-case basis, and this will be done in order to ensure a fair trial. So, Chairperson, what was then done, it was taken into account what was the right, what were the matter before the court, and what was the case before the court, Chairperson. The court then also indicated that the court will always have the power to regulate the proceedings before it because it's clarified Section 123 of the Constitution, and it has an inherent power to regulate its own process, taking into account what's in the interest of justice. It was also properly seized with the matter and is obliged to consider all relevant circumstances and to decide whether it's in the interest of justice for documents to be kept secret and away from other parties, the media or the public. So the court was in a position to give due weight both to the right of open justice and to the obligation of the state to pursue its national security within the context of relevant factors. Chairperson, however, this might be seen in light of the fact that a request was made for access to the record of the court proceedings, and the applicant did not file his or her opinion or his or her request based on the Access to Information Act itself. It follows on the basis of the right of open justice. And as the court indicated, this right can be limited. However, if you look at Section 80 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act. It provides support to start with the hearing of an application with an appeal against the decision, and the court has been given the power to examine any record of a public body or a private body to which FIRE then applies, and that no record may be withheld from the court. However, 82 then prevents the court from disclosing to any person a record of a private body or a public body if such request, and this is important, Chairperson, of access may or must be refused in terms of FIRE. And that's the difference between the two matters, Chairperson. Under Section 80, the request for access is done and the court must then consider whether the request will be may or must be refused. While in the Maseka or the independent newspaper case, it was done on the basis of a right.
The provision relates to court actions in general, the one in the bill. It relates to records in court actions in general, as opposed to the one in FIRE, which relates to actions that are related to FIRE application. So those are two different guidelines, one dealing with FIRE matters and the other deals with court application, with court matters. The recording in other court matters generally.
Do you remember the doctors and tenders? What I had said you should look at is whether if this particular section that you're now referring to was altered to adapt to the bill. agree with the submission made by independent newspapers that ordinarily the starting point is the court proceedings and phone two court records must be open to the public. Aim your classification of the documents within a court record as confidential, secret, or even top secret under the operative intelligence legislation, or the mere exit of the minister concerned does not place such documents beyond the reach of the court. Once documents are placed before a court, they are susceptible to its scrutiny and direction as to whether the public should be granted or denied access. To me, that stands in direct contradiction to the Fire 80 sub 2, which tells the court that it may not disclose documents, either to the parties or in general. To me, these two stand in direct contradiction, irrespective of whether you agree with the right. I think you'd be on the right anyway. And that is why I think that the final section 18 needs to be amended. We are bound, and in this case, happily, by the most legal direction. You do not present the disclosure of documents. You leave it in the discretion of the court. But the default position is the documents in court are open. Then the court can apply its mind. In this case, as we know, that Montenegro, the court actually on its own motion took the documents out of the public domain. They had been happily there. Took them out, adapted, took away bits and pieces of the in-camera evidence. But it was sort of in the court's discretion. So the two, to me, are at odds. I think Fire's own section 80 ought to be amended. But certainly, now that we're bringing it into this building, it's the intention to amend it. It's a simple point. The one is the default open position. The one in Fire is, to me, not to be closed.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. I'm trying to remind myself why we're having this discussion, as the Honorable Clark did before me. And there were a variety of issues in respect of which the so-called Montenegro judgment was mentioned. So if I may, just for my own clarity, go back to basics. There are constitutional rights which we can expand upon but we cannot detract from. There are statutory rights which we can change. And there are court proceedings which to a greater or lesser extent are given an area of autonomy under the Constitution and self-regulation. Now, in FIA, as Dean was mentioning, I think the critical aspect is subsection 81. 81 tells you you cannot give anything. You cannot withhold anything from a court. You must give everything to a court, then in terms of 82, 80 sub 2, the court will judge. But 80 sub 1 says nothing is to be withheld from a court, classified or unclassified. That's at the statutory level. In our bill, we have a different rule. Under a RY 46 and now 55 sub 6. We don't say about everything. We said we restrict it and we only deal with information capable of being used as a defense in criminal proceedings. So we are excluding the civil proceedings, the administrative proceedings. And even in respect of this more limited group, the text is capable of being used in criminal proceedings. We don't apply 80 sub 1 of the Ohio, which says everything, because we say everything except, unless it is
We must also look, does it mean that I've spoken too much?
But we also need to look beyond criminal actions. We need to look at civil actions and administrative actions. And therefore, this judge, whatever judge is, becomes the person who determines whether or not the record should be withheld on ground of classification. That's quite critical, because then we've got a double access. We've got the FIA access, and we've got the court access. And somehow that double access is already built in Section 80 for purposes of legal proceedings, where the legal proceeding is not for the purpose of access, but for the purpose of asserting a right in court. And that makes a fast track all the way to the designated judgment that the constitutional value is raised therein. Everyone has the right of asserting his right in court, and judicial protection of his rights. And that right cannot be hindered by the state withholding the evidence through which that right can be asserted by means of classification. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Can I take you back to the circumstances that prevailed? Understanding what you have heard now, the instruction was given for the presentation which you have heard now. Take the document that you have before you now, the one committee proposals. Page 11. In the middle of the page, you have a heading, the application to court. You see that? I had drawn your attention to the fact that one of the things that we had not yet done was to deal with the appeal procedure. And I asked, what is your views on that? And I draw your attention to the fact that the appeal procedure as contained in the original bill on page 17 of the original bill, and we the proposal that it changed, and this chapter 2 of part 4 of the Promotion of Access to Information Act had been written in there to try and bring the bill in line with prior. I said to you as members, do you know what that thing is saying? You cannot just incorporate something without going to look at FIRE. Look at what FIRE is saying, because it's saying a whole lot of things that you have caught before you agree to this. It was on that basis that we had asked the state law advisor to come and advise us on this issue. I also draw your attention to the fact that at the same time, remember that we do presently have in this book a procedure that is to be adopted when information comes before that is classified. Now, yes, there might be a difference dealing with appeal, but the question of when you're dealing with appeal, it was still a question how is the court going to deal with classified information. Take your working document now and look at page 30, at 56. Then you have the original appeal procedure as it was originally contained in the bill, except that rather than having been added before Minister, and the state law advisor had included the word state before the information. Now what you have on page 56, there was a proposal that what you have on page 11 should be substituted for what you have on page 56. Is what we were dealing with at the time. Can I clarify? And the presentation that we were asked, that was asked for, was specifically to see how do we deal with appeal procedures. Do you want it as it is in the bill presently, or do you want to align it with prior in this way? Because I draw your attention to the fact that there may be a problem. I didn't say if you adjust this, you're going to need to adjust what is in prior. And I do the words Matthias and Standards, which means with the necessary adjustments. You'll recall at the end of the day, that evening I accepted the state of advisors. Look at that text. Matthias and Standards, meaning you're going to have to adjust it if you want to bring it into the vote.
Well, I'm putting our position, so please, yeah, and logical.
turns you down, what will happen then is on what's on page 11. What the Honourable Lawrence says, full stop after the leaf, and the rest of the court knows that if that's what I might have said. Yes, Honourable Abrasini, and then I'll stop and continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just cut off 5 minutes from what I was saying to our teacher. Actually, the need of having 33 a.m. to 33, because I understood, your saying that one was a substitution to the other rather than addition. Thank you very much for the clarification. So I will limit to address that to you, Mr. Chairman, what the Honourable Lander said. And I don't want to start from the premises of recognizing, from where it started, from recognizing value to the concern advanced by the Honourable Smart, not because it's got no value, but because it's not relevant. To the extent that one wants to follow that concern, that concern relates to 80 sub 2 of pi, not to 80 sub 1 of pi. 80 sub 2 tells the court that how to deal with this document after they've looked at it. And Honorable Smart's argument is that you can't tell the court how to do it, because the Mussolini judgment tells us that the court has an inherent autonomy under the Constitution to make its own rules. And you legislature don't tell the court how to do it. Fine. That's one concern. And I may agree, I may disagree, but I'd like to shift your attention, if I may, to 80 sub 1. 80 sub 1, which comes first, says give everything to the court gets to see everything. Now, the difficulty with 80 sub 1 is that any record to which this act applies. So will 80 sub 1 apply if we don't make a gross record? Obviously, or probably, the state law advisors didn't feel that that would be the case because they felt the need in their grasp to make an express gross reference. And probably, that is the reason why I don't want to ascribe intention. The Honorable Landers wants to take it out because if this gross reference is no important, it is self-evident, so what harm is that in the keeping it there? If we are eliminating the cross reference and we stop after the word relief and we are having this discussion, it's because that additional sentence adds something that we feel uncomfortable with. And I, for one, would like to clarify what that is. If that excludes 80 sub 1, there's the rule, give everything to the judge decides what to do with it. Then we are really dwarfing time, and we are walking back. We are reneging on the very premises from which our discussion began. If we don't want to do so, let us be clear. Let us write what we say, spell it out as we mean it, and let us keep the cross reference. Because then we have no doubt. The judges have no doubt. The minister has no doubt. And we don't carry equivocation between what I can read, the Honorable Smart can read, or the Honorable Landers can read into the courtroom.
Thank you, Chair. Just very briefly, I like the suggestion by the Honorable Smart to amend 82 and then to follow the prior application route. Keeps us in line with prior, makes it very clear that we are tying in our appeal mechanism with the appeals to court in terms of prior. And if we don't follow that route, then our wording here might need to be changed. Firstly, I support the prior route and I support the amendment to 82 in terms of the Mussolini judgment, which is subsequent when we drafted that going to go the FIO route, which is our preference, one might need to add to 53 the words after the requester has exhausted the internal appeal process to make it very clear that you've got to follow the internal appeal route before you can go to court. So, Chair, that is my submission. I would suggest in the alternative, if you go that route, that you need to add those words. But the benefit is we are then tying the process. An application is as defined. An application to court is defined in FIRE. It means an application only in terms of Section 78. It has the benefit of setting out what decisions can be given. And we could also then solve the problem of 82 very easily by bringing it in line with Mosinaki. Thank you, Chair. In fact,
add to what I suggested, 78.1 makes it very clear that you could only bring an application like you referred to in 73A once you have exhausted the internal procedure, the attorney, internal appeal procedure against the decision. So I think we would need to add those words. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, my reading of the Mosinaki judgment has been contrary to the Honourable Jean Smart's reading, Chairperson. The Honourable Mosinaki decision, Chairperson, did not strike down subsection 2 of FIRE, subsection 82 of FIRE, Chairperson. What that section says, Chairperson, doesn't end there. I mean, what the Act says about how the court deals with documents in front of it doesn't end with Section 80, with Section 81 and 2. It goes on, Chairperson, to 82, where the court now has decided on what to do with the information. So a court is now faced with an application before it. It has to decide on whether to make the information available or not. It looks at the information, but before it takes a decision, it cannot make it available to the parties without having considered whether the defenses or the justification for secrecy that was raised by the other party is justified. Then once it has done that, it goes on to 82, and then 82 says the court hearing an application may grant any order that is just and equitable, including orders confirming, amending, or setting aside the decision, which is the subject of the application consent. So the matter doesn't end with Section 82, Chairperson. It goes further than that. So Mosinaki's judgment, Chairperson, basically, it did not strike down Section 82 of FIRE. That should be clear, Chairperson. It dealt with a different matter. And in that judgment, Mosinaki specifies that there are insurmountable problems for independent news on those kinds of arguments. The Honourable Smart was raised. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Yes,
Chair.
Yes, Chair.
Honourable members, I again refer you to the original bill to Section 46. Those are general provisions that apply to Thank you.
listen to the Honourable SWAT and there's merit in this request for including after the word relief the words something to the effect that after the request has been costed, the internal review process could perhaps be effective. Thanks very much. The rest of the arguments don't really find the paper in us. In one of the same breath, we have been told that there's a problem with mine. And simultaneously saying, you must stick to life. Now, given the messy situation that we face, it seems to make infinite sense to stay away from this and deal with this appeal process in the manner that we set out. And even if they're quite correct when you say that what is in Clause 46 in the original vote, we still need to confront. And that's going to be an exercise quite on its own. We're quite happy with the way we set it out. I hesitate to say that fire is needed. And of course, I'm interjecting on my own work. I'm so pleased that you do. Fine. But Chairperson, these things do arise. That is what the courts are there for. Point these things out to us. And in this case, it has done so. And so for purposes of this appeal proceedings here, I think we should stick to what we have on page 11 as amended by us and the possible inclusion of the added processing of the
because in the process of fighting that one out, I'm going to cast lots and illuminate on this, what is after all not a huge matter. Section 82 of FIRE is not a huge matter. It's just that it is, it's not acceptable if it flies in the face of a constitutional court ruling. It has to be cleaned up. But for our purpose, it's not a huge matter. So let's do Section 46 first here. Well, I don't know what your position is going to be, but ours is just to turn the whole thing on its head, and instead of the present default position of closed papers, we say you go to the default open position, and what's the expression in the court?
because with the immediately when the matter is before court, that information is free for all, and that is not supposed to be the case. It is only on the discretion of the court that that information can be made available. I think that is what the state law advisors have been advising us on. Thank you very much.
Uh,
would need to link that up to national security somehow, or how that decision is going to be taken. One presumes it will be at the cabinet level, but one would need on good cause shown in terms of national security or something to limit that opt-in, that it's not a general clause. Otherwise, it would defeat what we've achieved by the limited application. And so we need to look very carefully at that limiting clause. On good cause shown, linked to national security, and something like that.
Just on
the
I can always rely on Steve Swart to make sense of what I'm saying. The idea of presenting it with Q for the ANC, yes, it's ours. It's ours. We claim it. Unashamedly. Lest people leave here with the wrong impression. The idea came from us, and we stand by it, that an organ of state wishing to classify information must make the necessary application, and the legal term is correct, Chairperson, on good cause shown. And what we will need to do is be able to further link that to national security. As we can look at, we believe that gazetting it is more than adequate, that suffices as far as we are concerned. Within the whole world knows that this particular open state wants to do what is contained in the law.
Honourable members, I think on this point the question really is there a criteria that determines how, in our Chapter 11 institutions or services come to have the power to classify? Is there a criteria set that in the law? Because if there is one, there should be one. Why should the criteria be changed for those that opt in and are not the same? Is changed, I'm just saying you must be careful. You don't set a higher or a lower criteria for the opt-in people. You need to get your wording right there so you don't find that you contradict yourself. Those are presently that's going to be classified, but those that come later from now have to cross a more difficult path or maybe even an easier path in order to get there. I just draw your attention to that so that when we instruct the to our advisors, we know what we are instructing them. Is there any difference of opinion on that particular point?
Do you
need
to change what?
Then, I think, can we instruct the state bar advisors to prepare for us a clause? And particularly with the opt-in clause, whether it's going to be a test, an application, you need to look that you don't shift the goalposts for these late comers. But I think there's an agreement that it should be gazetted. Whatever happens at the end of the process, it should be gazetted. Can you prepare and also look at 3.1 A and B and remember the reference to that? An amended clause, a simple clause 3 that deals just with those issues, and then report back to us. I'm not sure if you're in a position to report back to us later today.
We will endeavour to have it by this afternoon, late this afternoon.
Okay.
confirmation from a little bit of knock off that the capacity really is under strain.
Yes, Honorable Mothers.
Shiplessness is precisely that, amongst other things, that has thrown us back on the system of management. I explained this to a member of the media last week, that there is this information within its own pipeline. It's very hard for us now, drafting legislation, to anticipate what is still to come. And so it makes life extremely difficult. The other difficulty with regard to the information relationship is the fact that it's probably going to take a good 2 years, maybe more, to set up that office. And so then we must proceed on the basis that if the information regulator is legislated for and provided for, at that point we would probably need to look at amending what is before us, by which time to do it. Until then, it's very difficult to say how that office is going to function. The Honourable Dean Smith is correct. Speaking now, wearing my other hat as Chair of Justice before the Council, we are extremely optimistic as to how that office is going to function. It will take over the functions of the Human Rights Commission insofar as the promotion of access to information is concerned, the protection of personal information, and elements.
Honourable members, I think the question of the classification database is a simple one. It's a yes or no. If it's a yes, you need to ask yourself, what value is this thing going to need? Is this thing looking to complicate matters? That might be some of the questions. Why was it included? What value was it going to bring to the whole process? Remember that one of the considerations of the draft is in the original bill in 2008, and this was a proposal that came out of that bill that was merely retained, would have been the whole question of that you're dealing with something that could well be seen to be oppressive, and that you, in terms of limiting the right of access to information, and that you wanted to, as much as possible, include a whole range of things in the bill to overcome that particular perception that the bill was awkwardly oppressive. But we have tried to deal with those in different sections of the bill.
keeping of information, while here the function of archive is that of keeping it. But I accept that that is also being looked at. But the critical question is that what happens to information when it goes there? And the right of passage is the bridge. Is that a condition for information to become public? If we, our position is that 35.4 should go, and without the National Data Classification Database may stay or may not stay, all could be brought into force at a later time when there is readiness. There could be a sunrise provision.
Thank you. lot of pictures of you.
Yeah.
Oh, my book is there now.
Yeah.
But just write it on.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, you want to follow me?
Tell him that I can share the power with you, don't mind.
He has no problem with power sharing.
I don't have a problem with the want to share power for 22 years.
Government of
After 22 years, I'm
not going
to
get
him. I'm able to
share power sharing a global item.
I'm able to share power
sharing.
For that's
what I'm I'm here until next Monday. My last day.
Do you have them sent on the...
I can put them on... I might have this, so I can try that. If not, I have...
You have them here?
Yeah, I have them here.
I have a switch.
Oh, great. That'd be perfect. I'll just do that.
Thank you. Mendoza está ahí. Ryan. mean, there's a lot of money for that.
Thank you.
principles is the class design. Now, how do you deal with a review if you cannot access it? If your request stops here, and it withheld in terms of time because it's not accessible, there, where the story is not accessible, you cannot deal with it. A request for review enables you to go all the way here and ask you, it enables you to review the document and change the classification of the document. Otherwise, there's going to be documents which could be declassified and are not going to be able to be declassified merely because they are not accessible in terms of time. A document which is not capable of being classified is not equal to a document which is not accessible. There is a much larger area of documents which are not classifiable but are not accessible under time. So by eliminating this provision, which is an action for review but not an action for access, you will not be able to achieve the declassification of a document which should not be classified but is not accessible. Am I being clear? I'm not sure whether you're clear with me, but I just want to know whether I'm clear on my presentation. And this is a big problem.
Difficulty the doctor on receiving has had almost from the beginning. And I don't know, I mean, I can just rely on her to assist by saying the way I see it. The sections that he describes as not accessible are utterly irrelevant to this act. They start from section 33 of fire, and they almost without exception have to deal with intimate and personal things or legal privilege or criminal confidentiality. They are the mandatory protection of privacy of a third party or a national person, the mandatory protection of search records of staff and tax man, the mandatory protection of commercial information of a third party, including trade secrets, financial, commercial, scientific, acknowledgement, confidential information which is precious as a person and commercial competition is described to the subject of the country. Mandatory protection of certain confidential information as it comes to breach of confidence owed in certain agreements or client confidence by a third party. They are not the things we deal with in this act. Everything.
I'm not being clear. The main thrust is exactly the things that just mentioned to you, Mr. Church, are not classifiable. Okay, so they are the larger act of what cannot be acted. There's nothing wrong with hiring. I'm looking at them, I'm describing the dynamics. I'm not passing anybody judgment. I'm describing the dynamics. All these things are not classified. And they are not accessible. If you take trade secrets, or private information, a piece of private information which is not accessible. Let's assume that it's been erroneously classified, and it should not be classified. If we eliminate this provision, which is a demand for review, you don't have a mechanism to add a declassification of the piece of private information which should have not been classified. Because you get stuck here. You cannot deal with this matter through a higher request. Let's examine the problem. And I think clear.
It's a little clearer when you say the word trade secret.
There might be
some financial or commercial corruption you're saying, which is exactly why it not to the thing.
Unless it is a larger error. Okay, it's definition. It could be larger by one item, could be larger by 1,000 items. The two areas do not coincide. Well, whenever there is an application for review, that application will only be successful and therefore only be meaningful for our purpose of legislation if somebody makes an erroneous classification. We are not concerned about applications for review which are going to fail. So it is in respect of those applications which have a chance to be successful, which are in respect of things which have been erroneously classified.
Officer must determine whether he's the head of the organ of state or not. If he is,
And if it's not, this thing will eventually. It's got nothing to do with higher. If he thinks the thing needs to be declassified, he will do so. If he thinks it needs to be reclassified, he will do so. And he will eventually report to the requester that, look, this is the position. You're not going to get it. It was classified top secret, but I think it had to be. In terms of my expected review process, I performed on. I've declassified or rather reclassified it as secret, but unfortunately you can't get it. You have to give your reasons for that. Or you'll say, look, fine, I've looked at this thing and I've declassified it and you're going to get it now. Now, I don't see the relevance of all those other things in prior. Where the information officer could or could not have received this stuff.
Clarify myself. And I appreciate your indulgence. I appreciate I'm raising this in good faith. Let me give you an example. A supply to government of medical equipment. In terms of section 37.1b, you request, they want to know who will supply medical equipment to an hospital. In terms of section 37.1b of PAIA, an information officer gets that request, they look at the law, and he may refuse the request for access that we're in, but it's a body of record protected information for supplying in confidence by third party, the specification of some medical fixes. If the disclosure would be going to be expected to prejudice the new supply of similar information or information on the same source. These are the reasons why I can say, no, I'm not dealing with it. There's not a reason for classification. If a document could not be classified on those reasons, these are not reasons that we have put in 13. So even before this information officer needs to concern himself of whether or not the information which is being sought is classified or not. He said, sorry, you can get it. Let us assume for argument's sake that this information was classified. And it should not be classified in terms of these provisions. It's in terms of the deal. Because the deal doesn't have similar languages, different languages. How does the requester go about asking for the review? Yes, but we have agreed that the process is only prior.
The request is made for access information in that case. That section applies, but it's classified.
No,
so immediately it's classified, he then reviews the classified statement. But the test is in a request for access. If a request is made for access to information and it is established that it is classified, immediately it's linked. It's not all, it's and. So it's, and then the review has space. The review
But then we need to be clear, because my point, if the request cannot be granted at the time,
you question it for the first right at the beginning. The request for access is filed, it is established that it is classified where it shouldn't have been classified, then the request must be referred to the State Department of State for a review of the classification statement. That's the end. The end is what you must do. You've taken it off at the request.
This is my difficulty. If I fall for that, other people can. Request that is classified is defined as a request in terms of time. So it must be a valid request in terms of time. So the first bridge is to a valid request in terms of time. If that request is not a valid request in terms of time, you don't get to the next bridge of any the classification.
Yeah, but this board we have been requesting them to file. That's the first thing.
flaw does not lie in the fact that the members do not understand what he's saying. I think the flaw lies in do not understand what the members are saying. And I think I would encourage you, Honorable Senior, to look at what is being said. I have, over a period of time, tried to assess this thing with an open mind and then with a closed mind, but I came to the same conclusion. I would really encourage you to sit down with one of the members, maybe this is what can help
one phrase to say that your argument on the medical equipment can be overridden by policy. It doesn't end it, it's the override, so it means it's not the end of the
end. So, honourable members, no objection. Can we ask that the state law advisor removes that from the original bill and report back to us? Agreed to? Honourable Ron, did you want to be heard?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Chairperson, I must acknowledge, Chair, that I tried to persuade you and tried to persuade our comrades in the ANC and members of the other committee to accept my own personal view on the need for a definition of national security. And I failed to persuade you. And so, Chair, I'm presenting to you what is essentially the ANC's position. That there will be a definition for national security, and it is contained and can be found on page 1 of the committee proposals working document 18. It reads national security, the word means comes out, and the word includes the place of it. And it is as set out in the document.
Are you going to page 2?
Yes, please.
Honourable members, yes,
thank you, Chair. I think that is the correct decision, that we do need a definition of national security. What's the issue now, of course, is the definition of Now, presumably, in the ruling party's deliberation, we would have considered the alternative proposal, which was proposed by me. I would be interested to know why that definition did not find head, particularly why clause C of that definition would read, national security does not include lawful political activity, advocacy, protest, or dissent.
Chairperson, I think Mr. Mayer must think with as much gentleness as I'm able to. It's not that we ignored his proposal. Far from it. If you read both proposals, Chair, you'll find there are elements in both proposals that match. Now, personally, I have no problem with including what is in C in the ANC's proposal. Chair, it's not a matter that we can have to go to war on. That's it. But we did look at it. We didn't ignore it. We gave it very serious consideration, Chair, as we did Mr. Andrew Seed.
be clear what we mean. I am frankly unclear what hostile acts of foreign intervention mean exactly. I wonder if the Honourable Members would explain this. It's very important that we understand that. Then in respect of B4, exposure of state security measures. Now, if I recall correctly, Chair, the whole question of state security matter is an issue that is flat. And I think that we would all agree that if you look at the definition of state security matter, it is very broad, and it would mean essentially that the exposure of any information relating to the security services would affect national security. I think if we think this through carefully, while I would agree that the exposure of some information contained by the or held by the security services certainly related to national security, it's the categories of information I think that are not. I think we need to look very carefully at the very broad definition of state security matter and its implications for this definition. Then in respect of B5, again I think it is fairly broad, and we might consider narrowing it so that it's more consistent with the old, I think it was 17.1J, which is sort of research secrets, research and technological secrets vital to the stability of the Republic. I think that we might need to look at narrowing B5. Then finally, Chair, in respect of B7, checklist device, I think the ruling party would agree that provision is too broad. I think it might be helpful to look at our proposal, A5, which actually qualifies us. What we're concerned with is serious violence with the aimed at with the intention of changing the constitutional order. That language is in fact taken out of the parliament. It's not just any national security, not concerned just with any violence. It's concerned with serious violence, particularly the kind of violence aimed at changing the constitutional order. I think those five issues should be considered.
I have the honourable spot.
Chair, thank you. I think we're making good progress. My definition that was initially drafted was very similar to the majority party definition, and then there were the additions that were made subsequently were 4, which was the information pegging, which was removed, exposure of the state security matter, and 5. I would ask the majority party to look at 5 again, because that 5 is taken directly from national interest, which we've now deleted, and that was under 11F, and I think it would be good to look at that 17.1J, narrow it down a little bit, because remember, this is the trigger for an opt-in clause as well. Remember, a department could now use this definition when applying for opt-in, and the exposure of economic secrets vital to a republic's development, that could be your GDP figures. That's vital to the nation's development. So we need to be very careful. To me, I would strongly urge that we look at narrowing down that to deal with, because as I said, it comes directly from the definition of national interest. It's one of the national interests, and I fully accept it is in the national interest. But if it is falls under national security, then it's a trigger for any department then to
merely said matter is vital. So there is a slight different wording there. But I would still urge us to look at that very carefully and to see to what degree it would enable departments that we don't want covered in the opt-in that would might well qualify in terms of the broadness of five in particular. Thank you.
Old 43, the new 52, but on the definition of national security.
secrets vital to stability, security, integrity, and development. Those four are the qualifiers.
Thank you. intelligence